Love this podcast? Support this show through the Acast Supporter feature. It's up to you how much you give and there's no regular commitment. Just hit the link in the show description to support now.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. I bet you get 30, 30, I bet you get 30, I bet you get 20, 20, 20, I bet you get 20, 20, I bet you get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month, sold.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
And welcome to episode 388 of Geek Town Radio. I'm your host, Dave, and joining me is...
To infinity and beyond!
Matt, how are you doing?
I'm very good, David. How are you?
I'm doing very, very well, thank you. It's been a couple of weeks since you've been on. What have you been up to?
Turns out we've been watching mostly the same shows, and I watched a film that we've been waiting for quite a long time.
Yes.
Of which its counterpart TV show is completely finished.
Yes.
But we will get to that. Silo, I've been watching. It's had, what, 8 episodes? I think it's got about 2 left.
Yes.
I like it a lot. I don't really care about many of the characters, which is a bit of a problem, especially in a sort of survival type of, you know, risk it at certain points to do things to, you know, type of thing. Definitely going to continue watching it, and it's really ramping up its stakes with a few episodes left. I think it got renewed as well, didn't it?
Which
is good. So that's great as well. Still waiting on Hello Tomorrow. That's just gone like completely quiet. So.
Yeah, I'm a bit concerned that might not come back because Apple's usually fairly quick with its renewals. Mm. So the fact that they haven't said one way or another in that, I'm not convinced that's necessarily going to make it, but we'll see.
Yeah. But no, I like it. I like the mystery of, you know, what's going on in the outside, and you get a bit of backstory at different points. I'm also intrigued every time, I don't really know the geography of the building of the place, but every single time they go inside the middle of the silo, you know, where they got all the stairs and stuff, something dramatic seems to happen every single time.
Yeah.
So that, like, if it's a chase or a fight or whatever the case, so that's been quite good. So I've enjoyed it. Not one of my favorite or sort of the better Apple shows, although that's quite a high bar. So
yeah,
there's that. But no, I've been enjoying it. I just kind of, I don't know, I'm a bit on and off with some of the characters at the moment. What do you think of it?
I mean, I'm really enjoying it, and I am liking the characters quite a lot. I mean, it's an interesting show in that they set up the cast and then immediately get rid of a couple of them. And you're like, oh, that's interesting. Okay. And then it ends up with the sort of second episode, another lead character comes forward, and they're the person that is there for the entire show. So it's not a thing that's afraid of getting rid of characters when it needs to, which I quite like. If you've not seen Silo, by the way, it's on Apple TV. The basic premise of it is that there are a bunch of people that are in a silo underground. They've been there for hundreds of years and generations. And at some point in the past, there was a revolution, and they made these rules that are called the Pact in the silo, that anything that happened before the revolution, you were not allowed to talk about on pain of death, basically. But that includes technology, like weird things like magnifying glasses aren't allowed, and they're not allowed to put elevators in the silo or anything that could allow them to get up and down it quicker. So there's odd things like that in there.
Mm.
And I like that sort of odd structure. And then there's this whole mystery of what's going on outside and why they're actually in the silo, because nobody knows why they're there, other than there are cameras that point outside that show this sort of desolate wasteland. And clearly they, you know, so it would seem that they were put in the silo because the outside world is uninhabitable. Or is it? And that's also the sort of mystery. Are they being kept in there for some nefarious purpose, or what's going on with the outside? So I like the fact that they've got this really interesting story. It is based on a series of books as well. And it, as you mentioned, it has been renewed for a second season. So I'm very intrigued to see where it goes.
Yeah.
And, you know, what I do like about the fact is because it's based on a series of books, there is definitely somewhere it could go. Because had this not been based on something, it's one of those things that could end up in a lost situation of it doesn't know where it's going to go. They've written a great first season and then it falls off a cliff. But I have faith, particularly because it's an Apple show, that they know what they're doing with it. So there's 8 episodes out, 2 episodes left of that first season, but I am really enjoying it.
Yeah, there's a bit early on as well. I don't think this is a spoiler. One of the characters thinks that because they have like this glass screen where they can sort of look outside, and one of them wonders if that's like a green screen sort of trick type thing. And that was quite intriguing a bit earlier on as well. So that was good. So no, I'm still enjoying it. I don't know. I'm not as invested in the characters as I thought I would be, but then some of them had died. So
yeah, I do sort of get that, in that some of the characters are extremely unlikable.
Some of them are. Yeah.
Yeah. There is a certain amount of that to it, I think, as well.
Mm. I've been watching How I Met Your Father as well. I think I finished the portion of whatever's out. I think it's like 2A, if you want to call it that. Struggled kind of with the first half, and really sort of it wasn't great in the first sort of 3-4 episodes. And then I don't know if it was I paid attention more, or if the show actually like got better or whatever, but I really started enjoying it a bit more in the second half. I felt that, I know, the characters started rounding themselves off a bit better. I think I started getting used to them a bit more as well, because I think particularly maybe in the first season, you're kind of seeing, okay, how much are they going to copy of, like, this is the new version of this character and all that kind of stuff. But the characters, I feel, in the later part of this portion of the show start coming into their own a bit more, I felt, at least anyway. And also with Sophie's love life, which is a main core part of the series, you know, it's about how she met the dad. I felt got a bit more concentrated, because I think I remember sort of at the end of the first season, beginning of the second, she sort of keeps running into exes and like they start getting into scenes, and there's like 5 of them at once, and it's like, okay, who's she going to be with? And at that point it got a bit messy, but then some of those kind of went away and went off screen for a bit. And obviously, you know, every sort of 2-3 episodes with both these sorts of shows, they like meet a new person and they say to their group of friends like, oh, I think this is the one, and then it goes where it goes. But no, I just think it got a bit better, a bit more entertaining in the later half of this season. I think as well, they're using the How I Met Your Mother characters for cameos and stuff, both in the last portion and this season, quite well. Because what the show kind of needs to do, it needs to find its own feet and its own legacy. How big that's going to be, I don't think the show's going to end up being as big as How I Met Your Mother, and that's okay, but it needs to find a way to find its own feet. And I think in order to do that, you need to not lean on the How I Met Your Mother characters so much, but then use them in cameos where it makes sense. And I feel like in this portion of the season they did that. I'm not going to spoil who shows up or whatever, but I felt like they used it better. Like, there's a cameo later on in this season that sort of gets set up earlier in the season, and it kind of made you think that one thing was happening and then it was something else, and the way they used that character I thought was a bit smarter and that kind of stuff. So it's also a case that with these multicam sitcoms, I said this before, though, we don't really have a lot of them, so I'm kind of like savoring this one that we've got now when it's in its earlier sort of seasons. So I think it's improved this season, and it hopefully will go on for a bit longer as well. I don't know about if it'll be 8 or 9 or 10 seasons, because these things go on like years and years. Where are you at with the show?
Same place you are, actually. I mean, I've finished that first half of the second season. Second half comes back in July. We've got a date for it later.
Cool. But not too far away.
Yeah, I kind of agree with you. I think it's a bit like the first season. It's sort of first few episodes, it was a bit all over the place, and then it kind of found its feet for the sort of next episodes. And it sort of did that again with the second season as well, I think. I don't know if it's our perception of it, like us getting back into it, or whether it's the show, I'm not entirely sure. But I'm enjoying it. I don't think it's up there with How I Met Your Mother. I don't think the cast gel as well as the cast did with How I Met Your Mother. I just don't think it's as good a show. But it's enjoyable enough. And like you say, those multicam sitcoms have fallen somewhat out of favour at this point. And I think this is one of the better ones of those, that sort of format. You know, it's perfectly enjoyable. It's 20 minutes, half an hour of those characters, you know. So, I mean, I think it's enjoyable enough. I just don't think it's hitting the sort of extra heights that How I Met Your Mother hit.
Yeah, it needs to be good by feeling like its own thing, and like it's not piggybacking off the other show, which I think it started to do that a bit more.
Yeah.
So, been watching Poker Face. I watched episode 3 yesterday. I really love it. I really, really like it a lot. I love how it structures itself as well. And you've got a little bit of a kind of overarching story slightly, but we'll see where that goes.
Yeah.
It gives you a very dramatic, intense opening 10 minutes, which shows you kind of the incident. And then Natasha Lyonne, I think her name is Charlie. Yes. She comes onto the scene and starts investigating things, but things go a bit back in time. And then you sort of see how events match up and that kind of thing. It's from Rian Johnson, like you said, who's done the both the Knives Out films. I really, really like it. She sort of really oozes charisma, but she did do that in the other shows that she's been in, which was Orange is New Black and Russian Doll? Yeah, the other Netflix thing. So she's really, really good. Gives you, yeah, just this really intense opening 10 minutes. I remember I messaged you because I watched the first 10 minutes of the first episode and I thought, she'll pop up on the scene. She'll kind of do this investigation thing. They do the first, literally 8 minutes of the first episode. I thought, my God, this show's dramatic already.
Yeah.
It doesn't waste any time. So I'm really, really loving that. Got 10 episodes, decent length, good pacing, all that kind of thing. And I kind of like the element as well that because obviously she's moving from place to place, nobody's sort of going with her, that you meet different characters each time. I did that thing as well in episode 2. The older guy who's a car mechanic in episode 2, I'm pretty sure that's Mr. Potato Head's voice actor. I started hearing him speak and I thought, that sounds like somebody from Toy Story.
It's not the voice of Mr. Potato Head, but I can see why you think that. And you do recognize it from Toy Story. It's John Ratzenberger, who voices Ham in the Toy Story films.
Oh, yeah.
That's who it is.
That makes sense.
Yeah.
Because as soon as he started speaking, like it went off in my head, I thought that sort of connected to Toy Story in some way, but I couldn't quite figure it out at the time. But no, very, very good show. Really much enjoying that. Where are you at with Poker Face?
I think I've just done episode 8, so I've got a couple left yet. I'm hugely enjoying that show. As I think I called it last week, I mentioned it. It's sort of Columbo for Gen X's, Gen Z's, because it is exactly the same format as Columbo, because that's how Columbo ran, was you have a case of the week and you actually see the incident, which is usually a murder in the first half, and then Columbo shows up in the second half and solves the case. And this is exactly the same format. And it works really, really well. There are points where Natasha Lyonne really almost does the one more thing, which was always the famous line from Columbo. She pretty much does that in some of the episodes, and it works very, very well. And I also, same with you, I like the fact that because she's moving from town to town, they can have some great guest spots. I mean, like you said, there is this sort of overarching story technically there, but you're not really following that as much, but it gives them a reason for her moving from town to town and why she can't deal with the police, which adds this sort of extra interesting little dimension to it. But it's great because as you move from town to town, you're getting some really decent guest spots, like John Ratzenberger. You've got Tim Blake Nelson is one in there. The episode 8 has Nick Nolte in it. David Castanella shows up in one of them from Umbrella Academy. Chloe Savini is in an episode. Ron Perlman shows up in one. You know, so there's some great people that pop up in that. There's an episode with Jamila Jamali in there as well from Good Place. So what I really, really love about that show is the fact that it's just very well structured. It's very well put together. The crimes are really interesting. It's funny. It's dark. Really, really solid throughout. And you can actually go and sort of watch your way through it. It is going out technically on Sky Atlantic, I think, but you can go onto Sky On Demand and now and just watch them all because they're all up there. And it is renewed for a second season. It has been a massive hit on Peacock for the US as well. So I'm so happy that's doing so well.
Cool. So yeah, I've been enjoying that. The Flash film has finally actually come out after a lot of years, after being due out in 2018 and then having itself changed through a very, very long cycle.
Yeah.
So on Saturday, I did do one of my full reviews, but I thought I'd mention it over here. I liked it and I thought it was good. That's just the base level of that. Had some things in there I really, really liked a lot, and some things that I thought were very, very silly and didn't work. Some key points is I hated the last 20 minutes.
Right.
Very much enjoyed the first 10 and relatively enjoyed all the bits in between. Both Batmen in the film serve really, really good purposes individually. Seeing Ben Affleck's Batman was just awesome again. Mm-hmm. He's not in it for as long as Michael Keaton's Batman's in it a lot longer. Yeah. And serves more of like a full story purpose. Going to miss both of those. I say that because we have no idea if we're ever going to see them again as Batman. It was interesting with Keaton particularly because, okay, does anybody want to see like a 70-year-old Batman jumping around? Turns out, yeah, that's a very, very good idea. And also you get the kind of, when I was watching Keaton's Batman, you get this sense of experience, like a veteran experienced Batman that kind of can get himself out of tricky situations. So that was really, really entertaining to watch. Plus the score is in there and that's really cool and fun. And
yeah,
here's a couple of lines which are very iconic, like the I'm Batman and let's get nuts type of stuff. So that was really good. There's this particular scene with, let's say, Ben Affleck's Batman,
yeah,
on a bridge, and he's just zipping from car to car and gliding. And I was just, that was really good. It's really sad that out of all the, I think this is factually correct, but you can correct me if I'm wrong, he's the only, at least live action Batman, who has been Batman in films but hasn't had his own film.
Yeah, that's probably correct, actually.
Yeah, because even Adam West had like a TV film kind of thing.
Yes.
I don't know if he got like a cinema release or whatever.
Why is there nowhere to get rid of a bomb? Which they then ripped off for the third of the Chris Nolan Batman movies. Ironically, you watch the end of that third Chris Nolan movie. In essence, it is that sequence, which is very funny to me. But yes, go on.
He's really awesome to see again. There's some cameos that are really good. Some other very strange cameos as well. Some of the CG in places is very questionable. For the Flash himself, because you've noticed I haven't talked about the Flash, his story is I found to be the least interesting.
Really?
Of all of them. One of the issues I had, because you've got this, I'll just call him Other Flash, Other Barry, to not get into spoilery stuff, which you've seen from the trailer, there's two of them.
Yeah.
Gets in the way like the whole time he's on screen, and he's supposed to be irritating and annoying. I can't explain why, but almost got in the way of the actual character himself, because they're on screen together for a bit of time and that, but he's supposed to be annoying, but it just gets in the way. And there's some emotional stuff, like obviously this is dealing with the Flashpoint thing, going back in time, saving his mother. There's some stuff with that that really works quite well, I thought. Sasha Calle's Supergirl is really, really, really good. And I really hope that she comes back, but we've got no idea. We don't really know who's going to come back. Apart from, I won't say how or in what type of scene, this film makes it very clear that Jason is probably staying on as Aquaman.
Yes.
I know there were some rumors about him being Lobo and that sort of stuff, but there's a scene that clarifies that. But other than that, we really have no idea who's kind of sticking around. Mm-hmm. But overall, the film was good. It had some parts I really, really enjoyed, some that I really didn't. I could tell it was getting towards the end of the film, and I was like, if this wraps up here, or like kind of finishes off this little arc and wraps up here, I'll have really, really, really enjoyed it. And then the last 20 minutes happened and I didn't feel the same way. So that's kind of my general feelings. Any thoughts or questions or anything?
Well, I mean, I haven't seen it yet, so I can't comment on the actual movie. There has been some interesting stories and bits and pieces around. Obviously, we know that Andy Muschietti, who directed this, has been tapped to direct The Brave and the Bold, which is the solo Batman movie within the new DCU.
Mm-hmm. With another new Batman.
Yeah. As for the characters staying around, Sasha Calle has apparently spoken to Gunn and Safran about the possibility of her returning in some way. One possibility for that would be to introduce her as Power Girl, because Power Girl, there are two Karas within continuity, one being actual Kara, which you could recast as the sort of more traditional blonde Kara. And then you could introduce Sasha as Power Girl, would be one way of doing it. Now, bear in mind, I don't know where these people are at the end of this film, so I can't comment to how that would work.
Well, I mean, Zod's in this and his character died 10 years ago and it's comic booky stuff, so
exactly.
They can always bring people back.
Yeah, I mean, there seems to be generally positive reactions to Michael Keaton.
I was surprised by him because I was excited for Batfleck, but like Michael Keaton's not really my Batman, and I thought like, oh, he's going to be a bit older. What's he going to be like? He was completely just badass in this film.
If you wanted to use Michael Keaton again moving forward, one way to do that would be to set up a Batman Beyond live action and use him as the old
that character is very ready for like a mentor type of role. You could really do that with if you take the same qualities in this film of that character, you could definitely do that.
And I think a lot of people would accept that, because then you have a new younger Batman as the lead Batman, and then you have Michael Keaton as old Batman mentoring Terry McGillis. That would make sense as a way of being able to keep Michael Keaton as Batman around if he was interested in doing that without messing up your overall plans of setting up this new conjoined DCU world. So I think there are ways of pulling characters out of this continuity and using them in a slightly different way in the new DCU. So there are some positive stuff from this. And monetary-wise, it's not doing great. It's starting to tank a bit at the box office, which, you know, is a shame. But as a number of the trades have pointed out, that part of the problem is when you can't send the cast out to do promotion for it, obviously partly Ezra, you can't stick him in front of a camera because you don't know what he's doing.
Yeah, your main star who you've got a double of in the throughout most of the film. Yeah,
that's a very difficult thing to give him. You know, I mean, he did make an appearance at the premiere, but it was very limited and they weren't allowed to do press interviews.
I'm surprised they even did that, to be honest.
So there's that side of things. Plus, with all the strike stuff going on in the US right now, and I mean, this is going to be a problem for them potentially moving forward. If the actors decide to go on strike, they're not allowed to do press for projects either. So if that happens, that's going to be a real problem. Not only for we've got the writers on strike, you also potentially could end up with the actors on strike as well. And if that happens, that's a real issue.
One other little interesting nugget, and this isn't going to happen overall. I wasn't sure what this film was going to do for like continuity of other films, like what stuff it was going to mention. This film very clearly takes place after Snyder's Justice League because there's events that are mentioned. When those characters mentioned them, I was like, oh, I didn't expect the Snyder Cut stuff to be mentioned at all. I thought this was going to function a bit more separately. So I think if you erase the last 20 minutes and like fix just a couple of little things in this film, that could kind of easily slide back into the Snyderverse. Obviously, they're not going to do that, but I just found it interesting watching this film thinking you could slide this back into the Snyderverse, and I didn't expect to kind of see that happening in this.
Makes sense because it was devised as a Snyderverse movie originally, and then they altered the ending to make it fit more with the new DCU. So it makes sense that that would work. But
that's the Flash film. So today we're talking about Flash film, the Flash TV show, and I have a Flash mug as well. So
excellent.
All very interesting. Yeah, the show's ended. I think we've both seen the ending. What did you think?
It ended. As I said before, I was kind of hate watching that final season. I really was ready for it to go. And my feeling of how it ended, I was just sat watching it thinking this could have been so much better than what it was. You had a bunch of different speedsters turn up and kind of gang together. Although, weirdly, you didn't get the original Thorn show up at that point, whereas they had used him slightly earlier on in the season. But then they went with the Wells Thorn version of it for the ending, which I thought was a little odd. I don't know. I was kind of glad to see it go by the time it had ended, but I really thought it was all over the place, the final episode. Plus, that entire final season, having Grant not show up for half of it was a really odd choice. And I mean, that may be part of the reason why he agreed to do the final season, of course, but there are entire episodes in that final run that just do not have the Flash in them, which is very strange. You know, you compare how this final season went to how the final season of Arrow went, and they are worlds apart. This just seemed cheap all over the place. And there were certain characters that you kind of thought would have shown up, like Cisco. And I mean, it's quite entirely possible they just couldn't get the actor to come back. But you would have thought...
That was disappointing, yeah.
You would have thought at least have him show up on a like Skype call or something. I mean, you would have thought there'd be something that you could do with that. It just felt very all over the place to me.
I agree. I did like the actual finale itself. I thought that was good enough. But then I suppose my expectations were lowered so much by that point because of the episodes that we'd had. It was just cool to see some of the speedsters back. I won't get into spoilers, but the whole Nora thing was kind of strange. But you know, timey-wimey, whatever. But by the time you get to the end of the show, it doesn't really care about it's fine that it did this. I'm not like, it's just a point of observation. It didn't really care about its own kind of how time sort of works and that sort of thing, which was fine because it, I mean, in these kind of things, it doesn't really line up a lot of the time. I thought it ended on a nice note, which is important. Like, where did it actually end? I thought so that was an important bit, ended on kind of a happy note. So that was at least nice for that. This being kind of the end of the whole Arrowverse is sort of strange, but I suppose the other shows have all either been cancelled or actually finished. I liked when some of the other Arrowverse characters made cameos or appearances.
Yeah.
And I wish they'd done that more. I mean, like, there was nothing for Legends. Like, I don't know what the end of that is sort of supposed to be or how we're supposed to feel about where those characters are at. Because we saw Batwoman, Dreamer, and Oliver Arrow in three of these episodes. But it's, like, nothing for Black Lightning, nothing for Legends particularly. Because, like, the main core four shows were always Flash, Arrow, Legends, Supergirl. Yeah. Those were the core four shows for quite a while. I mean, it was nice to see Dreamer, but it's strange that, okay, you couldn't get, you know, Melissa to come back for a little something. I feel fine with it, but at the end, yeah, it could have been a lot better, but it was fine, I suppose. Yeah, it's strange. I do agree with you. It is strange that the Flash's final season, how much percentage was he in the episodes?
I know.
20? I know that's a really low number.
It certainly wasn't a lot in those final episodes. It was very weird. The other weird omission from the last episode was Bart, because like they introduced Bart Allen as Nora's brother, and then we get to the final bit and he's not there, and you're like, why is Nora there and Bart isn't? It's like they completely forgot about that character. So I mean there were just some odd choices, and as I say, I mean, a lot of it may just be they couldn't get the actors back, but I found the whole thing just quite glad to see the back of it by the time it ended.
So they both have come and gone, because we're probably not getting a sequel to The Flash. If we are, Ezra hopefully isn't coming back. But I did see something Andy Muschietti said, like, oh, I've got an idea for a sequel with Ezra, and it's like not sure about that. I mean, I'd be curious to see an actual sequel to the film if you take off the last 20 minutes, but not with Ezra. Be happy to see all those other characters come back though. Did James Gunn say anything? I can't remember anything Flash related in the DCU slate.
No, at the moment he steered well clear of that. I think probably because the film was coming out. I mean, I suspect the character will show up again at some point, but he steered very clear of that because of this movie. And I think we'll see. I mean, he didn't really mention anything about Wonder Woman either. So,
yeah.
But I'm okay with that. I mean, I'd rather he focused on Superman and Batman first, and then we'll come to the others later on.
Yeah, he's only co-leading the studio and writing and directing a Superman film.
Yes.
You know, he's a bit busy right now.
Yeah, exactly. The Flash, obviously, one of the things I was watching this week. Outlander as well returned for its seventh season, which is kind of an interesting one because that's split into two halves of eight episodes. First one's gone out. There was an interesting little bit which was in the trailer, which was of Claire, which was actually a little fake out scene that they used, and he's kind of explained in the very opening of the seventh season. But overall, really enjoyed coming back to that. It's a great little show, he's Outlander. I really, really like that series. Unfortunately, it's tucked away on Lionsgate Plus these days, so you've got to get an extra subscription for it. I mean, he's only $5.99 a month, so you could wait like 8 weeks and then binge your way through season seven if you pay for it.
Stars used to be?
That's what Stars Play used to be in the UK.
Stars Play. Yeah.
It's still Stars the channel in the US, but it's called Lionsgate Plus in the UK. All the previous seasons are on there, but you could wait until the last episode goes out on August 5th. So you could wait until sort of middle of August and just pay for a month and go and binge through the seventh season and turn it off again. Opening, I thought, was really strong for that. We're very much getting into the Battle of Independence from the British, and it's sort of which side will they fight on and all that sort of stuff. I like the sort of historical context stuff. I know it's sort of a made-up history, but it's based on historical events, and very much enjoyable that. It's out on Lionsgate Plus now for the first episode of that right now. One thing that I have actually binged my way through the whole thing is The Ark, which took forever to land over here. It's a US sci-fi channel series. It's from Jonathan Glasner, who was one of the co-creators of Stargate SG-1, and Dean Devlin, who was behind Leverage, Librarians, the original Stargate film. He was a screenwriter for that. So it's some of the people behind Stargate that have done this new sci-fi thing. The basic setup for The Ark takes place hundreds of years in the future, when planetary colonization missions have begun as a necessity to help secure the survival of the human race. First of these missions is a spacecraft known as Ark 1. It encounters a catastrophic event causing massive destruction and loss of life. With more than a year left to go before reaching their target planet and a lack of life-sustaining supplies and loss of leadership, the remaining crew must become the best versions of themselves to stay on course and survive. It's got the same sort of level of jokiness and humor as SG-1, I would say, as you go through it. It's not got the quality. It will be fair to say this is a very, very, very cheap show. It's all set within the Ark, so it's all shot on standing sets. So they've built an Ark set, which they use repeatedly, and they're not landing on planets as they go along or anything like that. So the whole thing is shot on a soundstage. And if you know anything about TV production, you know that that is a lot cheaper to do. Like, there are episodes of Star Trek which are based within the Enterprise, and the reason that there are certain episodes that are based within the Enterprise is because it's much cheaper to do that than to go and send them off into the desert to pretend it's a planet sort of thing and do that sort of broadcast. So filming in a studio is cheap. With the best love in the world, and I do like the cast, they're not going to be winning any awards for their acting, I don't think, in this. I mean, there are bits of it which are not great, but the overall story I found really compelling. I think it's written really well. You start off with this big, something hits the ship, basically, and blows up a bunch of they're all in cryostasis pods, and it hits the ship, blows up a bunch of the cryostasis pods, and they happen to be the pods that have the leadership in them. So that's sort of the starting point. So you end up with this sort of group of people which are not completely leaderless, because there are some sort of lower level leaders in there, but they have to sort of figure all that out, but then goes off in some kind of interesting, unexpected directions as you go through it as well. There's relationships between the various different people, of sort of those conspiracy things going on within the ship, and there's people there that probably shouldn't be, and all that sort of stuff. So overall, whilst it is a very, very cheap show, and the acting certainly isn't top notch, but plays well enough, it's funny in places, and the story itself, I think, is really solid. I just wish they'd been given a little bit more of a budget. It has been renewed for a second season, which I'm glad to see. And like I say, I suspect it's an incredibly cheap show to produce for sci-fi. And we're kind of starved of like little sci-fi things, and I think they did a reasonable job with this. You know, don't expect something that is The Expanse. It's not anywhere near that level of quality to it. But if you can sort of look past that and just enjoy the story itself, I think, is very, very solid, and found myself just binging through episodes of it. So compelling enough, I think. It's going out weekly on Sky Sci-Fi in the UK, but you can go and get it all on Sky On Demand and Now.
Not looked at that, yeah.
Worth going to check out, though. Black Mirror return for season 6 as well, which is the other thing. Have you stepped into any of these yet?
I was going to check out one episode, but then I just kept watching Poker Face. So
yes.
I think I might finish that and then watch Black Mirror. Otherwise, I'll be in between two shows.
I did watch the first couple of episodes of Black Mirror, both of which I really enjoyed. The first episode, which is the Joni's Awful episode, that's the one where this woman discovers that there is a global streaming platform, so basically Netflix. It's called Streamberry is the name that they're using it, but it is Netflix. I mean, it even uses the Netflix sound effects. A global streaming platform has launched a prestige TV drama, which is an adaptation of her life, in which she's portrayed by Hollywood A-lister Salma Hayek. That's got Annie Murphy in the lead alongside Salma Hayek. It's got Michael Cera pops up in there, Himesh Patel, Rob Delaney, and Ben Barnes are also in there. I rather enjoyed that episode. I found that quite fun. Taking the Netflix algorithm and the fact that it tailors things specifically to your tastes and pushing that to an extreme, which is what Black Mirror does so well. The second episode, which is Loch Henry, which is a young couple who travel to a sleepy Scottish town to start work on a genteel nature documentary, but find themselves drawn into a local juicy story involving a shocking event from the past. That I really liked as well. That one's got John Hannah in it. Basically, this couple turn up to do this documentary about some sort of bird thing. The guy out of the couple is from that area. They're staying with his mother, the girl who's his girlfriend, and they're making this documentary together. And when they're there, they bring up this fact that sort of 20 years earlier, there'd been this sort of murder. And she then wants to do the documentary about the murder, and it all gets a bit weird from there. But I really like that episode as well. I've not watched the rest of them yet. Next one up is the Aaron Paul, Josh Hartnett one, which I'm quite looking forward to. So I've got those. There's only five episodes, so I've got three left to go through. But solid enough. I don't think it's necessarily up there with some of the best Black Mirror episodes so far. I don't know whether it's just because you kind of know what Black Mirror is at this point, and maybe the twists are getting a bit more predictable, but I think it's had sort of mixed reviews to this season. But I enjoyed certainly the first two episodes. I think they landed reasonably well for me. We'll have to see how the rest of it goes, but those five episodes are now up on Netflix. You can go and check those out. So that's all the stuff we've been doing this week. Let's move on to some TV and film news.
The secret to summer-ready skin is here. Osea's number one best-selling Andaria Algae Body Oil, clinically proven to instantly improve skin elasticity and transform dry skin to silky, soft, and unbelievably glowing. Its signature scent of freshly squeezed grapefruit, cypress, and mango mandarin transports you to sun-kissed summer days. Get healthy, glowing skin for summer with clean, vegan skincare from Osea. Get 10% off your first order site-wide with code GLOW at OseaMalibu.com.
So we kick off the TV and film news with the renewals, cancellations, and pickups. The axes have been out for the cancellations again, because we are getting to the point where it's kind of hurtling towards the end of June, and a lot of the cast contracts run out at the end of June. So they kind of, all the shows that they didn't quite make decisions on at the start of May, they need to make decisions by the end of June, because otherwise the cast contracts run out and then they can't renew them without having to renegotiate all the contracts. So we are finally getting some of those come in. NBC have cancelled American Auto, which was Justin Spitzer, who did Superstore series. That was his other sitcom, but they have picked up his other sitcom as well, so which is called St. Denis Medical. So they've picked up a medical sitcom, but dropped American Auto after two seasons. American Auto ran on Sky Comedy over here. So, you know, they're still working with Justin Spitzer, but traded one for another.
I did see a trailer for that and I thought, oh, it's from the Superstore. Right, I'll check it out. But I guess I'll just wait and check out his other show now.
Yeah. I mean, yeah. Both seasons, I think, are now up on Sky Comedy, so you can go and check out American Auto. It just didn't quite have the numbers, I think. Young Rock has also been cancelled after three seasons, which was always fairly middling. I rather enjoyed that show. I found it quite fun, but numbers-wise, it was always fairly middling for NBC. So that has gone after three seasons. Rock's not having a great time at the moment because he's had a number of things like dropped.
Back to Fast and Furious.
Yes, he's had things cancelled and dropped and all that sort of stuff. So that's a show.
Black Adam didn't work out.
Yep.
I'd have liked to have seen a Black Adam versus Superman or Shazam or a combination of those or something.
Yeah, not going to happen.
And that was before James Gunn came in.
Yes, that was not James Gunn's fault. That was prior to James Gunn being there. The other thing they've dropped is Grand Crew, which never aired in the UK, but that was Echo Kellum from Arrow and Nicola Byer were the two leads on that one, but that's been dropped as well. I think that was the lowest rated thing on the network, so that's gone. Over on the CW, they have cancelled Gotham Knights, which was one of the three shows. The other two have made it, but Gotham Knights was the one that has gone, which I can't say I'm upset about, because it was another one of those Berlantiverse things that really didn't respect any of the continuity or any of the comic book stuff, to the point that they killed off Batman, which is fair enough. I mean, they've had that in various other media, but they killed off Batman, and then instead of using one of the other Robins as the adopted son that tries to take over, they invented an entirely new character.
There weren't enough Robins to choose from.
Yeah, and there's like five or six six wormings to choose from and you invent an entirely new. I don't get it. Mm. Really made no sense to me.
It doesn't really fit into anything either.
No, I can't say I'm upset that that has gone. The general reaction to it was rubbish. So, but Gotham Knights had gone after one season.
I'm guessing that Justice U isn't going anywhere.
I rather suspect not.
I don't think that will be announced to be cancelled. It will just not be spoken about again, I think.
Yes.
Otherwise, we would have heard about that by now. So.
Yeah, I think that's gone. Over in the UK, Channel 4 have cancelled the BAFTA award-winning Big Nasty Show after five seasons. Don't know what the reasoning for that, other than Channel 4 are trying to cut back and save money.
I was going to say, is that one of their budget things?
It seems to be one of their budget things. But yes, I mean, to say it did win BAFTAs, it's an odd one to remove, but that one has gone. Staged, which returned for its third season, they have confirmed is the final season of Staged as well, which is fair enough. I mean, they're basically saying, look, it came out of a lockdown kind of project that was me and Michael messing around. This is David Tennant talking about it. So it came out of a lockdown project that was us messing around on Zoom. And we've done three seasons of it, and it was a very particular point in time, and that's it. They won't be doing more of that.
I did look for season three on BBC yesterday. I noticed episode seven's description, I think it's episode seven, is like outtakes and bloopers. So I'm going to watch that as like, if it queues up in the way it's supposed to, that will be the last bit, which will be a fun way to finish watching that. I guess I'll take a little bit more time to watch that then. It was a really good fun idea, and it's interesting that that came out after Good Omens, didn't it? First
think so, season. Yes.
Because I remember when we'd all seen Good Omens and we're like, oh yeah, you know, David Tennant and Michael, what's his surname?
Sheen.
I was thinking of Shannon, but that's odd from Flash. We were thinking like, oh, you know, they got such great, you know, chemistry and that kind of stuff. It'd be great. We'd even watch them just sit around chatting. And then this show came around and kind of fulfilled that. You've seen all the third season, right?
Yes.
You watched it on BritBox, didn't you?
Yes. So,
and yeah, then they got, surprisingly, they still got that Good Omens season two coming out, haven't they? In July. So we'll see where that goes.
Lots of good stuff coming up. One other show which, I mean, hasn't even got started, but unfortunately is being canned, is Metropolis, which was a TV show from the guy that did Mr. Robot, San Ishmael. Uh-huh. And it was based on the absolute classic Fritz Lang sci-fi film. And he was doing a show for Apple TV. It had been ordered, and apparently that's now not moving ahead due to the writer's strike. They've completely shelved it, which, I mean, whether that's an excuse to shelve it and it just wasn't working the way that they wanted it to, I don't know. But that has definitely
gone. Let's hope that doesn't become a regular thing. Because this is kind of, it keeps going on, doesn't it, this writer's strike?
Yes, and it will go on for as long as the writers can keep it going on. I mean, they don't look like they're going to cave anytime soon, and nor should they. I'm very much with the writers on that. Yes, unfortunately that, which looked like it could be quite interesting, but unfortunately that isn't going to happen. Over on the renewal side of things, Superman and Lois has been renewed for season four. And All-American Homecoming has been renewed for season three. Although Superman and Lois has got a bunch of cast reductions. Homecoming will also have cast reductions. We just don't know what they are. So the only people coming back as series regulars in Superman and Lois are going to be Tyler, Elizabeth, so Superman and Lois, Michael Bishop and Alex Garfin, who are the two children, and Michael Kudlitz, who was introduced in season three, which we haven't seen over here yet, but he's introduced as Lex Luthor in season three as a recurring character. He's now been upped to a series regular for the fourth season. So not coming back are Dylan Walsh, who played Sam Lane, Emmanuel Chikri, who played Lana Lang, Eric Valdez, who played Kyle Cushing, her husband, Indy Navretta, who played Sarah, their daughter, Wolf Parks, who played John Henry Irons, Taylor Buck, who played Natalie, his daughter, and Sophia Hasmick, who played Chrissy, who was the sidekick character from the newspaper where Lois works. So all those who were series regulars in the first three seasons have not been invited back as series regulars for season four. That doesn't necessarily mean they're not going to be there at all. You know, they're not going to suddenly all disappeared and got abducted or whatever, or just moved out. It means that their contracts as series regulars have ended. So they've effectively been fired. They then can technically go back and say, actually, would you mind coming back and doing a guest spot or signing a recurring role contract. The actors at that point are then quite welcome to say no. So you may or may not see some of these characters come back in some form, but you're not going to see them as much on screen. I mean, it was a fairly large cast anyway, and seems a bit odd that there were that many series regulars. So it sort of makes sense, but it's a cost-cutting measure, essentially. It does slightly worry me that they are cutting costs so much, because one of the things that worked with that Superman series was the fact that it felt a much higher quality than all the other actual
Arrowverse.
Yeah,
almost like a HBO show at certain points.
Yeah, it felt like it was shot at a much higher quality than the other Arrowverse series. And unfortunately, the fourth season is usually when things fall apart with those Berlantiverse shows.
Mm.
So I'm a bit sort of, I'm not sure whether this is a good idea.
Was it not able to be moved to, I guess it's Max now, was it not able to be moved over?
Well, CW still wanted it, so...
Oh, right, okay.
It's up to them whether they renew it or not. If CW said, no, we don't want it, then technically, yes, you could have moved it across onto Max if they wanted to do that. But I think they're also trying to keep a lot of the Max stuff as being things that are within the connected DCU.
Mm, and like the new DCU TV shows.
Like things like Peacemaker and anything else that is coming up, you know.
Yeah.
So we'll see when season four comes around. We don't know when season three is going to drop in the UK. It will probably be over the summer at some point. It may be autumn, but it is not had a date for it yet, but the BBC don't announce dates that far out. So along with Superman and Lois and All American, over on Netflix, they had a big event. So a couple of the things that they just announced as straightforward renewals. FUBAR, which is the Arnold Schwarzenegger series, that is coming back for a second season. I haven't watched the first one of that yet. It's maybe, I'm off on holiday in the middle of the weekend today. Maybe one that I go and download onto an iPad so I can watch it on the plane. But that has been renewed for a second season. Exo Kitty has been renewed for a second season as well. Silo has been renewed for a second season, as we mentioned earlier. Velma, which is the rather controversial adult Scooby-Doo thing, has been renewed for a second season at Max. And in the UK, Ridley, which is the Adrian Dunbar detective drama on ITV, has been renewed for a second season.
Have you seen any clips or parts of that Velma show?
Only very, very tiny bits of clips. And I was just not that interested, you know?
Yeah. I haven't seen the first episode, but I've watched enough people watch the first episode that I've basically watched the first episode.
Right.
And it was quite horrible.
Yeah. I just...
In many different ways. There's one character change that I didn't understand. I can't remember his name, but they haven't got Shaggy in there. They've got... I can't even remember what the guy's name was. Some other character.
Right.
The funny part about that was... So they had the other two, which is Velma and...
It's Velma, Fred, and
Fred,
Daphne are the other three members of the gang.
There was the one who was everybody kind of thought was Shaggy, and he was a black character. And of course, people said, oh, why are you race swapping the character and stuff? That's not Shaggy, that's somebody else.
Right.
But I don't understand why that character was in there and not Shaggy, because I don't know who that guy actually is. So that was all like a really weird thing.
It just seems like a very odd thing to do, adult version of Scooby. It just seems so unnecessary.
And it doesn't have Scooby-Doo in it, as far as I know.
So. Yeah.
But it's more like a detective-driven Velma show, which is more like slightly more R-rated.
Yeah, and it's one of those
things... The whole thing's just a strange idea.
Yeah, it's one of those things that you kind of think they could have done something original and not attached beloved characters to them, and it would probably
You could have just spun Velma off separately on her own and just done that.
You could have just done it as an entirely original thing. It looked to me like being a blatant...
Trying to use their name.
Yeah. Tagging the name on to get people to watch it, whereas it doesn't really have any connection to anything.
Because if this had good numbers, and that's why it's getting renewed, it's because it's being hate watched by loads of people.
Yes.
Not because people think it's good and they go, oh, we should watch this show. It's like a car crash thing where it's like, oh my God, you have to watch this show because it's so bad and you have to see what it is.
Moving on to pick up some other news. We have got a bunch of air dates, advanced air dates for things. So Lincoln Lawyer is returning for season two. That's actually been split into two parts. So first part comes on Thursday, the 6th of July. Part two is the 3rd of August. So they've done that with a number of shows recently on Netflix, which I think is an interesting way of running.
I think they should be experimenting more.
Yeah. And I think rather than dropping things weekly, which they generally don't do, I think this is a nice balance between the two. Drop a bunch of them together so people can binge if they want, but also gives them a bit more traction on the social media side of things. So you have two set dates where it's going to be pumped out on social media. And I get that because it is a metric that they use.
So it worked out really well for Stranger Things, like when they did those seven and then they had like a double big finale thing. That was turned it into a bit more of an event kind of thing. So they should do more of that.
And Lincoln Lawyer was great. I really enjoyed the first season of that. I mean, it feels very much like a sort of detective drama that should be on CBS. I think it was actually made for one of the networks originally. Huh. And then they decided not to go for it and it got moved over onto Netflix. And it does still feel a bit like a network thing, but it's in that sort of dramedy elementary kind of area. And it works really, really well. Very good, that first season. So I'm really glad to see that back. The Bear now has an air date for its second season. That's on Disney Plus. That's on the 19th of July. Dave season three, that comedy, is also landing on the 19th of July on Disney Plus as well. Almost Paradise, which is another sort of action dramedy thing. I think it was Daryl who said last week we were talking about it, and he mentioned that it's a little bit like Burn Notice, that show. But that's coming to Freevee on Friday, the 21st of July. That's Almost Paradise season two. Stars Christian Kane, and it's another show from Dean Devlin. Dean Devlin, who's all over the place at the moment. I mean, you know, this, The Ark, Leverage, Redemption. They've got a new Librarian series they're making for the CW as well. So lots of things in the works right now. How I Met Your Father season two, part two, that returns on the 26th of July on Disney Plus. So that is coming back. Sandition, which is back for its third and final season, finally, having already run out in the US, but that's landing on the 3rd of August on ITVX. Billions season seven, that has a premiere date of Saturday the 12th of August. That's on Paramount Plus UK, which I know has upset some people because it used to run on Sky Atlantic, but unfortunately Sky no longer has a carriage deal for the Paramount shows, so now all the Paramount shows launch on Paramount Plus. I do hope that that final season does get maybe a second run on Sky for people that haven't got Paramount, but
that's the way the streaming world works. Things move around.
Unfortunately, that's just the way it is. Season seven will be the final season, although they have got a bunch of spin-off shows that they're working on, but final season of the main show, that's 12th of August, that's landing, so that's going out the day after the US. I mean, that is the one advantage of it being on streaming, is the fact that it's running the day after the US, so you know, it is there. Elite returns for, I think it's season 7, October 20th on Netflix, that is back. And just wanted to clarify, and I did put a tweet out about this, but for people that may have been looking around for a Walking Dead Dead City UK air date, there were some rumours flying around it was going to be on Disney Plus UK. It isn't. That was untrue. It wasn't the fault of the person that tweeted it, because she got told by AMC Plus that it was going out on Disney Plus UK. I think they thought that they looked at it and saw Walking Dead was on Disney Plus UK and had thought that Dead City had been sold to them as well. It hasn't. The only reason Disney Plus UK aired the main Walking Dead show was because they happened to have the license left over from when they closed the Fox channel. It's the same reason that they have NCIS on Disney Plus. There is no reason why Disney would be airing The Walking Dead, because they don't buy in shows. I mean, it's just not what they do. Apart from those two series, they're anomalies. They don't buy in other stuff because they're not exactly short of content. I mean, they've got ABC, FX, along with all their own Disney Marvel stuff. They've got Freeform to pick from. They've got Hulu. So they're not short of stuff to put on the service. So there's no reason why they buy in external shows. It's just frustrating that AMC do not sell their things to anybody else over here.
Yeah, it does make you wonder what they are doing, because it's not just The Walking Dead, but I mean, we've had this conversation numerous times on our Walking Dead podcast, and some every time like podcast plans has come up for us, because a number of shows that they've got which are just, they just haven't put them anywhere. It's strange. And like, we expected Fear's final season to be on that BT channel and stuff, because it had been on there since the start. But I hope they don't start, either use that, but put that channel in other places or something. Yeah. Or
launch AMC Plus would be the most obvious thing.
Yeah.
Or sell it somewhere. Sell the whole thing to Amazon or something. Yeah.
Yeah. There's plenty of places you could sell it, or you could launch your own thing, but they've just not taken any option. Because I think it premiered yesterday, didn't it? Dead City.
Yeah, I think it was either yesterday or earlier in the week. I can't remember. I think it might have premiered on the, because it goes out, I think, a week before on AMC Plus, I think, and then goes out.
I forgot about that whole thing. Yeah.
And then goes out on the AMC channel the week afterwards. I think that's the case. The interesting point that Martin, who's one of our regular contributors on the website, pointed out was the AMC shows were previously sold through E1 internationally, but AMC ended the distribution deal. The last one that they did for AMC was World Beyond, which they sold to Amazon. Yep. They're now distributing things themselves, except they're not. So technically, it's AMC directly that are responsible for the distribution of their shows, but they're not distributing them, which sort of points towards maybe they are gearing up to launch an AMC Plus.
They're taking their sweet time doing it.
Yeah, I don't know why, you know, when you've got these big shows there, I don't know why you've not either made an announcement to say, hey, it's coming, or launched it already, because it's not, they've got, yes, they wouldn't have the main Walking Dead show because that's still on Disney right now. And maybe they're waiting for that license to expire. But that show's done anyway. And now you've got the other Walking Dead stuff. I don't know why they're not just launching with that. And you've still got Vampire Diary, not Vampire Diaries, you've still got...
You've done the mistake.
Yes. You've still got Interview with the Vampire, you've got Mayfair Witches that can go on there. You've got, was it Lucky Hank, I think is the other one.
There's a Bob Odenkirk thing.
Bob Odenkirk show. They've got enough content to be able to launch it at this point.
And you've got a decent back catalogue.
Yeah. There is a reasonable back catalogue of stuff. There is enough content for you to be able to launch a sort of $5.99 streaming service in the UK. And I don't know why they've not done that yet. It's weird.
I thought they liked money, but maybe I'm wrong.
Yes. It is odd that they seem to be hoarding them right now. So we don't know what they're going to do with it. But at the moment, Dead City does not have a UK air date anywhere. Which, I mean, not that we condone people going to find them somewhere else, but what do they expect?
People have already done that.
Yeah.
Would have already done that.
I mean, I've seen links floating around online for it already, and what do they expect people to do? Because I mean, you know, you've got a rabid fan base like the Walking Dead fan base. They're going to go and find it somewhere else. So you know, what can you do? Speaking of streaming services and stuff, Netflix had a huge event over the weekend, one of their big Tudum global fan events. And there was lots of news that came out of that, but I've picked out a few kind of key bits and pieces. One of the big pieces of news, well, Linda Hamilton of Terminator fame is going to be coming to Hawkins for the fifth and final season of Stranger Things. She has a rather cute little quote. We don't know who she's going to be playing, whether she'll be on the side of the kids or, you know, on the side of evil. Don't know. But she did say, I don't know how to be a fangirl and an actress at the same time. I'm going to have to work on that, she said at the event. So clearly she is a fan of the show. There was a cute little sort of handoff during the event as well, because it was Arnold Schwarzenegger. It was just after he made the announcement about FUBAR and then handed over to Linda Hamilton, and she like turns around and goes, hi Arnold, lovely to see you, let's get coffee, you know. So I thought that was quite sweet. Yes, I like the fact that they're picking actors who are sort of big 80s actors. I mean, I know Linda Hamilton's been in a number of things since, but they're sort of well-known big kind of 80s stars that they're using for this show, and I rather like that because it's sort of appropriate for it. But yes, I'm very happy to see Linda Hamilton.
Yeah, that's very cool.
They also released a trailer for One Piece, the live action version of the beloved anime series. Now, I mean, this actually looks all right from the trailer.
I only saw some screenshots.
And the reaction to it seems to have been okay, which is good, because given what happened with Cowboy Bebop, which is their last attempt at a live action anime, and absolutely was trashed by the fans, I hope this goes down better. One Piece, if you don't know the anime, follows Monkey D. Luffy, a young man who, inspired by his childhood idol and powerful pirate Red-haired Shanks, sets off on a journey from the East Blue Sea to find the titular treasure and proclaim himself the King of the Pirates. Putting together his crew, the Straw Hat Pirates, the gang experience crazy adventures, unveiling dark mysteries and battling powerful enemies, all in order to reach the most powerful, coveted of all fortunes, One Piece. It's coming on the 31st of August. It looks reasonable and quite fun from the trailer they released. Anime is not really anything that you're into either. So, I mean, I imagine you've not seen the original anime. So I don't know how well it stacks up. But the reactions I've seen online seem to have been generally favourable.
Yeah, no, it's very popular and that. So hopefully it does well for the, you know, the fans that really love it. I've seen bits of One Piece. I think I've played like some of one of the demos or something for one of the games, which was pretty decent. So I may or may not check this out. But hopefully it does well.
There is another live action anime thing, which is a live action version of Avatar The Last Airbender, which is coming in 2024. Didn't release a trailer for this, but they did release some photos, and the photos look pretty decent.
Sorry, it was this that I saw photos for, not the other show.
Right.
I got them mixed up.
Photos look okay for this. This is quite reasonable. The setup for it is basically the same as the opening monologue in the original anime series, which is long ago, four nations lived together in harmony. Then everything changed when the Fire Nation attacked. Only the Avatar, master of all four elements, can stop them. But when the world needed him most, he vanished. 100 years passed and my brother and I discovered the new Avatar, an airbender named Aang. And although his airbending skills are great, he has a lot to learn before he's ready to save anyone, but I believe Aang can save the world. That was the opening sort of monologue from a couple of the characters, and it is basically the setup for the live action version as well. I mean, it was quite interesting when this was posted because the pictures look quite good. I mean, we don't know more about it than that. The only response I saw was, well, it can't be any worse than the live action movie. So, because there was a live action movie a few years ago and it was universally trashed by the fans. I think this has been slightly more faithful, which is good. And hopefully they managed to pull this off. But those are the two live action anime things coming. The other thing is they released a sort of trailer, which didn't really give a huge amount of way, but for Three Body Problem, which is this new sci-fi based on a beloved Chinese sci-fi novel from Alexander Wu alongside David Benatoff and D.B. Weiss, who are the names that you all know for the people that managed to drop the ball on Game of Thrones. It's set against the backdrop of Chinese Cultural Revolution, where a secret military project sends signals into space to establish contact with aliens. An alien civilization on the brink of destruction captures the signal and plans to invade Earth. Meanwhile, on Earth, different camps start forming, planning to either welcome the superior beings and help them take over a world seen as corrupt or to fight against the invasion. The title is a reference to the three-body problem of orbital mechanics, which I am not going to go into. But, I mean, on the plus side, it is a finished story, so it means that Benatoff and Weiss actually have an ending to this, potentially. And they did a reasonable job whilst they had a script to work from on Game of Thrones. It's just there is a lot of bitterness towards them for that as well. It looks like it's going to be a very high-level, high-concept sci-fi. We'll have to see when it comes in January 2024. I don't know whether you caught the trailer for this.
I didn't, but, you know, people were upset with what they did with Game of Thrones. That was in, what, 2019? So it's been a long time. I think it's time to let them just... I mean, some people aren't going to let that go because some people are kind of like that. But this isn't got anything to do with Game of Thrones. So just, give them another chance, give them a fresh start and see what they can... I'd still would have been curious to see what it was they were going to do with Star Wars. We've had a number of directors sort of come and go. They were going to do new projects and stuff, but... yeah, let's see what they got with this kind of hopefully fresh start for them.
As I say, whilst they had a book to work from for Game of Thrones, they did a really, really good job. And there is a book to work from this. So maybe they'll pull it off and maybe it will be good. It's slightly worrying that it's on Netflix because if it doesn't get the numbers in the first season, it will disappear off the face of the earth. But I mean, who knows? We'll have to wait and see with that. But that's Three Body Problem. It is coming in January 2024, they have said. And there is a sort of trailer up which gives you clips of sort of, ooh, look at this, isn't it spectacular clips, rather than actually giving away any plot or anything. But it does look kind of interesting, so we'll see. So that's all the news we've got for this week. Just some highlights for the next couple of weeks on TV, actually. We're doing highlights for the next couple of weeks because I am going on holiday later on this week, and so I'm definitely not doing a show next week. I may actually put some bits and pieces out over the next few weeks. I'm technically not back in the country until the 25th of July. I don't know what's going to go out over the next few weeks or not, but hopefully I'll have some interviews and stuff to go up, even if it's not a regular podcast show. But to keep you going at least until the end of June, we have got a whole bunch of air dates coming up, and there's some really interesting stuff in here. So we'll start off on the 21st of June, which is when Secret Invasion drops on Disney Plus, which I'm very much looking forward to. So that we're back, new Marvel series. And just like that, returns on the 22nd of June at 9 p.m. on Sky Comedy. That's the second season of the Sex and City revival. Not Going Out is back with Lee Mack on the 23rd of June. That's on BBC One at 9:30. There is a show called I'm a Virgo coming to Prime Video. That's on the 23rd of June. It's from Boots Riley, who is a wonderfully strange director. It's a fantastical coming of age series about a 13-foot tall young black man in Oakland, California. I have seen the opening episode of this. I really rather enjoyed it. It's very kind of strange, comic booky, but quite grounded, although got this fantastical sort of vision of this 13-foot kid in it. It's really, really interesting. But it's called I'm a Virgo. That's Prime Video on the 23rd of June, if you want to go and check that out. Magnum PI returns for its fifth season. That's on Sky Max. That's on the 25th of June at 9 p.m. And also on the 25th of June, you've got Titans Season 4 landing on Netflix. So that will be the final season of Titans. The Blacklist returns for Season 10. That's on the 25th of June on Sky Max. That's at 10 p.m. And that's the final season of that as well. So another final season. Hudson and Rex returns for its fifth season. That's on Alibi. That's on the 25th of June at 7 p.m. Popmaster makes its debut on TV, having been on the radio for 20 odd years. Ken Bruce is doing a TV version of the iconic radio quiz Popmaster. That comes to More 4 on the 26th of June at 8 p.m. and he's running throughout the week. I think it's only five episodes, so I think it's only running for the 1 week, but I think that'll be interesting to see how that goes down. Be interesting to see Popmaster on TV. The Good Doctor is back for the second half of its sixth season. That's on Sky Witness on the 27th of June at 9 p.m. 911 Lone Star returns to Disney Plus for the second half of season 4. That's on the 28th of June. There is a new Apple TV Plus show called Hijack, which stars Idris Elba. It's told in real time. That follows the journey of a hijacked plane as it makes its way to London over a 7-hour flight. It's from the guys that made Criminal, the Netflix series, and have done a whole bunch of other things. I think they did Litvinenko as well, the ITVX thing with David Tennant. Great writers. It's a real-time thing. It's got Idris Elba in it. I've seen a couple of reviews of people that have previews of it and said it looks really, really good. 28th of June on Apple TV for Hijack, and I think that could be one worth checking out. 29th of June, you've got The Witcher returning for Season 3, Part 1. So that is back for Henry Cavill's final outing as Geralt. Then we've got Jack Ryan Season 4 returning. That's on the 30th of June. And lastly, we have The Last Leg, which is back for season 28. That's on Channel 4 on the 30th of June at 10 p.m. Lots of stuff coming up until the end of the month.
Some good stuff there.
Yeah, some really good stuff. I'm definitely going to be checking out Hijack, I think. I'm very glad to see The Blacklist back. I'm looking forward to that. As I said, I Am Virgo is certainly, if you like those slightly more fantastical kind of things, that is one certainly worth looking at. And Secret Invasion, obviously, as well. If people want to find more of you, where can they find you?
They can head over to entertainmenttalk.org or on your podcast platforms. TV, games, films, main eye podcasts. Got a few TV seasons reviews lined up. Still doing gaming talk. Had a lot of stuff to talk about this week. We were very, very impressed with Starfield. So we talked all about that. And I talked about how I'm going to make my character look like Buzz Lightyear. Or try to, at least. So that should be some fun. As well as all the other, there's been a lot of like gaming stuff lately. So we covered that. Film reviews, I've been doing a few more of those recently. Got Little Mermaid, got The Flash, if you're curious about that. I'm going to try and see Spider-Man very, very soon. So you got that. And if the Glazers ever decide they want to sell and we can get on with our transfer business, that would be great as well. So Man United are in this sort of hiatus part where they're trying to buy people, trying to sell the club, but it's all in a bit of an annoying limbo sort of state. So we'll see how that goes as well. I'm going to try to do my season wrap-up podcast this week, just focusing on the season that just went. So you can check out all that. That's me.
Yep, so go and check Matt out over at entertainmenttalk.org. Bex, of course, is still streaming over on twitch.tv/TristaBytes. That's BYTES. Go and check her out over there for lots and lots of fun streams. She's been doing Diablo 4 recently, so if you want to go and see some video play through Diablo 4, I think that's what she's currently on. But there's lots of other stuff and some just chatting streams and all other things going on over there. But Bex is always great fun to go and watch, so go and check her out. And Daryl, you can find at HollywoodNorthNews.net for all those TV series you love, which are shot in Canada. As I mentioned, I'm going to be off, so the shows are going to be sort of sporadic until about the 25th of July. But there will be news going up on the website, which you can go and check out at geektown.co.uk throughout the week. So there's all that stuff going up. That will still be running. There's air dates going to be going up and changing, so you can go and check all of that stuff out as well. If you want to get in touch with your questions or comments, email us on podcast@geektown.co.uk. Leave a message on the website post. Find us at Geektown on Twitter, on Facebook at facebook.com/Geektown, on YouTube at youtube.com/Geektown, on Instagram at Geektown UK, and on TikTok at Geektown UK. That is everything. I shall see you in around about a month. Talk to you then. Bye.
Bye.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
Hi, I'm Megan Rinks.
And I'm Melissa D. Montz.
And like every other person with access to a microphone, we started a podcast.
On Mondays, we release Don't Blame Me, which is an advice podcast where listeners call in and we share our thoughts on situations such as what to do if you're going to your boyfriend's family function and you haven't told him that you previously slept with both his twin brothers.
Then on Thursdays, we release our podcast, But Am I Wrong?, where we ethically gossip about pop culture, politics, our lives, and your lives. Listeners write in and we tell them if they're wrong or right in a situation. Are you the hero or the villain?
On Tuesdays and Fridays, we throw in a little something extra as well.
A little something, something. We strive to create a community grounded in activism, mental health, and inclusivity. Think of us as like your blunt, honest friends who give you advice that you need to hear, not what you want to hear. But we're also always rooting for your success. What we lack in credentials, we make up for in
opinions.
We do that in every episode too.
We're professional, unprofessional. So if you're looking for a new slate of podcasts to add to your routine, we're here for you.
Acast recommends.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.